Jofi Zambo and friends. This is a show that's happening this Saturday at Lab Synthèse, if you're interested, at 435 Beaubien West. And we're going to hear a little bit of one of the other artists who's playing, just to take you out. It's Claire Boucher. We'll leave you with that. Thanks for listening to Venus, and we'll see you next week. Movie Museum is coming up. Good afternoon, folks. We are the Movement Museum, and we will be dancing with you, or to you, and for you on the airwaves in a few minutes as we just get in and get chill. I will let Andy Williams do what he does best. This is a Monk Swing local Montreal production, and again, we are Movement Museum on CKUT.
Yes, folks, you've been listening to local Montreal production. That was Andy Williams off his EP Monk Swing. This was side B. It is called Ava, and I don't want to destroy the track by giving it a random name. I am Sirius Black here running the boards at the Inuit Museum.
Then we have a completely fully stocked, overloaded studio here. We have a Finn, we have a Fawn, and we have a John along with Zeke. I'm the only one who is not doesn't have the melodious name.
Well, keep trying.
Yes, I will keep trying. Good afternoon to y'all. We have not only a jam-packed studio, but we have a jam-packed show as well. We will be dealing with a lot of stuff that happened last week or so, because Finn is opposed to doing the Montreal Dance Diaries. I actually went out to go see something very, very cool. It's called Domestic, and it involves some sort of kitchen appliances and some
all kinds of appliances. And lots of electricity.
And there did it also have like choreography where the machines themselves moving around?
At times,
at
yes.
Time? Oh, very cool. And then I want to know how the double bass worked in there, or was...
It was a viola da gamba.
Oh, even better.
Yes.
Because, yes, I know Pierre-Yves Martel, and he was one of the performers there. We also then, between myself and Fawn, will sort of probably be arm wrestling about rubber band dance, trying to figure out who can climb over who to say that it was more and more spectacular. And then I think we're going to let John sort of, be the referee, be the judge, or just sort of count us out when one of us sort of has their shoulders pinned to the floor. But yeah, Finn, talking about Domestic, that was last weekend or so.
Yep, I caught the last show on Sunday night, and it was the first time that I'd ever been to Baie Saint-Michel as a venue, and so, I mean, I knew it was going to be odd, but sitting in a swimming pool for a performance was definitely a new experience for me.
Okay, that's that's the one that's up on McGuire, just off of Saint-Laurent?
Yeah.
Okay, because
I
was confusing. I thought it was the one that was way out east by Frontenac Metro.
No, it was relatively easy to get to and hang out around.
And so, yeah, as in a nutshell, first of all, who was it, when was it, and how was it?
So it was last Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and it was 8 o'clock, trying to remember. And it was, there's actually two performances. The one was the Prelude, that was a trio of people performing on breakfast materials, so
breakfast?
Espresso machines and toasters and that kind of thing, and an accordion with some sampling, working that all together, and that was pretty cool. Though I really wish they'd actually used espresso grinds so that you could really smell the performance, because they did have toast, and it did get burnt, which added something, but it could have been even more fulfilling if we'd been able to, you know, feel that wake up before walking into the
Have that potentially gotten them into sort of a little bit of a dicey situation with you if it wasn't fair trade coffee?
Well, they probably would have thought of that given this crowd. So
you have faith in certain performers.
I have faith in Ecumen, which was the group, the artist collective that was putting this together. The main piece though was this Domestique construction that was a three-part concerto that was played on appliances by five performers, and I get into all this with the discussion that I had with two of them, Pierre-Yves Martel and Jacques Poulin-Denis, before the performance. I had the chance to talk to them at a time and get a taste of what I was gearing up towards, and then sat through this very interesting performance that kind of fulfilled a lot of stereotypes, but at the same time was very satisfying and fun. So
cool. At which point, Selena, do you have that up on the big board? Is it available? Because I think... Yeah, you got a nice piece and stuff like that I'm looking forward to hearing myself.
Well, I'll just add that actually the interview has been underlaid with a piece I picked out from the Internet Archives, a DJ Irma, and it's DJ Ura, and it's his performance Kitchen Music, Sukal Musica, and it's a sort of hip-hop rhythm played on utensils.
Oh, it sounds like we're going to have hip-hop all the way through today's show.
Well, it's certain... themes going on, yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. So now you've gotten rid of the Creative Commons sort of requirements?
Yes. Yep, yep.
So then at which point, Selena, I think you should hit play.
Just introduce yourselves.
My name is Jacques Poulin-Denis. I'm the director. And my name is Pierre-Yves Martel.
Where did the idea come from for this performance?
It's actually a play on words from électroménager in French, the word for appliances. I make electronic music, so électro, we always say we make electro System Électroménager. So, I mean, we do with Ecumen, the collective that is producing this project, we do a lot of projects that are using objects, we make music with objects, pencils or clocks, or we have many different projects, but so we thought we would take it a step further and maybe we'd use these big appliances to, as a sound source for the show.
We'll just set the stage.
Okay. People find an orchestra made up of kitchen appliances, big kitchen appliances.
All kitchen?
Not all kitchen, because there's also washing machines and dryers, dishwasher, refrigerator, stove, and deep freeze. We have a big deep freeze.
18 appliances. How many performers are you?
We are five.
Five?
I think it's primarily a music concert.
Okay.
But we did make sure that there was things for the eye to look at. And it's also a light show. It's almost more like an art installation than a...
we call it more of an installation with a performance.
Yeah. It is a performance, for sure. It's definitely a concert. It's based on the classical concerto.
Mm-hmm. Is there, like, you know, theme and variation? Are you developing? Okay, you have a nice recapitulation somewhere?
We do. We try to really take these machines and give them a proper concert. Yeah.
Okay. So the sounds that you're working with are mostly, I guess, familiar sounds, or are you trying to pull the novel sounds out of these things?
Well, there's the hum of all the machines, but also all the sounds you can make by manipulating them.
Okay.
And also, they're all amplifiers, so they're all amplified with the contact mics. Mm-hmm. They're going through eight and many speakers, how many speakers?
Nine speakers. So
the sound is coming from all around the audience, and the acoustic sound, so the instruments as well. Mm-hmm. And those are manipulated also acoustically. Mm-hmm. So there's also acoustic, there's one acoustic instrument, viola da gamba, and kind of a funny parallel.
There's two, because there's also a voice.
Are these all like modern appliances, or some vintage, or...?
No, they're all from the 80s, maybe.
No, some pretty more recent...
There's some nice ones that I wouldn't mind having.
Yeah.
How did you get these?
From this one appliances salesman named Balzac Electroménager, who has a huge warehouse. He actually he's one of the only ones in Quebec, or the only one in Quebec, who takes the freon out of the refrigerators.
Okay.
So legally all makers have to have that done, so he gets all these machines every day. He gets hundreds of machines, and he takes them apart, sells the good ones, and takes most of them to the dump.
So the sounds are going to be probably most of the things that we're familiar with in terms of domestic sounds, but are the motions, are people moving around in the space, is that also domestic kind of in vocabulary?
Yeah, there's motion. A bit of like theater kind of...
We used, I guess, two inspirations, the concert, the form, the very formal dressed in black, and all of the back... on, and also they have a more domestic cleaning and taking care of. But then we also went into more like abstract, there's people climbing in machines, and it gets more like choreographed, I guess you could say.
I'm sure that electricity is a big deal with this kind of
setup.
Was that hard to get enough energy in here to run everything? And
it was, because the pool here is not, obviously there's no plugs in the pool, so the first few weeks were really a challenge because there's not a lot of electricity and all these machines require a lot of juice, so we were limited in how we worked, but eventually we tapped into the big electric box for more powerful lighting and stuff, so we were pulling electricity from that for the appliances, but yeah, it was a big puzzle to figure out how to get all these machines working with all the microphones and all the speakers and all the same time.
Is it very improvised?
There's lots of room for improvisation. There's kind of a general outline of sections are defined and we know what type of sounds we'll make. But within the actual gestures and the actual music making is improvised.
Cool.
So there's always things that happen that aren't the
plan.
Yeah.
For presenting this as if it was a finished piece, but it really isn't. It's just the beginning. We had 2 or 3 weeks here to get things set up and rehearsed and kind of our ideas together. This was just enough time to get things working. Even now, things still aren't really working, but people are coming to see the show, so we just kind of fake it.
Yeah.
But
you make it work.
Exactly, we make it work, which is really exciting. But then we're kind of using these performances as rehearsals. Our first real rehearsal run-through was at the premiere.
Yeah.
That feels a little fraudulent to me, but at the same time, it brings a certain edge, and I think it couldn't have been really well rehearsed anyway. I think it would have been more boring for this specific kind of...
If it was over.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, if I can get in a time check and a station ID and all of that sort of silliness, that very seriousness. It's 2:17 on a bright, sunny, beautiful, amazing day, although mm-hmm. we're very, very happy that you're indoors listening to the Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. And Finn, thank you very much. That was a cool, interesting piece.
Very interesting piece, yes.
My question is, because I imagine that you spoke to them before the performance.
Mm-hmm.
From speaking to them, what they said, how much did it correspond to actually what happened?
I think it did correspond. Of course, they didn't cover everything about what happened. I actually had a debate after the show with a person that I went with about whether it was dance or theater, because there certainly was a lot of very obviously representational stuff going on. You know, the two of the performers actually dressed up, changed costume in the process of this. At one point, one of the three men and two women, and one of the women put on these gigantic overalls and then started sort of taking apart, pulling things out of one of the washing machines, and then another one put on this big like skirt apron thing and big gloves and so on, and so she was taking on the sort of, you know, domestic presentation before eventually climbing inside a refrigerator, which then had her voice amplified pouring out of the different freezers. There were sort of three fridges in front of the audience, elevated outside of the pool, and so those actually got a lot of action because the performers were also like posing between them in relationship to the music and climbing on top of them and kind of suspending themselves between them. So definitely there was physical aspects involved, and they did feel like they were related to saying something, communicating some kind of narration, but it isn't to say that there was a really clear story from beginning to end.
I didn't imagine there would be a clear story, but
no.
So you mentioning that she climbed into a fridge. There's one time as an adult that I climbed into a fridge, and it was one of the more frightening experiences in my life when they closed the door.
The door, yeah. She came out eating cake, though, so it wasn't as that bad.
Now, then my mom tells a wonderful story about how she would have to check the oven before she was cooking around the time when I was 2 or 3, because apparently the oven was my favorite place to play.
Wow, that's an interesting thing to go towards. I hope it wasn't a gas oven.
Ah, yes, it was.
Oh, wow.
I was fearless then, I'm fearless now.
Uh-huh.
Do we have some bills to pay? Has anybody else got questions they want to ask of Finn about domestic? Does domestic have any questions they want to ask of Finn? Or Finn, do you have anything you want to say more?
Well, part of what made it interesting, obviously, was the sounds and the way that they were being manipulated acoustically. And actually, I had the chance to check out the setup after the performance, and there's this big freezer kind of in the middle of the deep end of the pool, and inside there's two laptops for the DJing, and so there's somebody kind of always leaning into the freezer, adjusting things from there. But they certainly took on a lot of sexual posturing in the process of this, and at some point there is definitely quasi-violent relationships between an oven range and a dishwasher, and another dishwasher was getting whipped in a very deliberate kind of way, and there was a dishwasher that was having an interesting time sort of falling apart in ecstasy. So these appliances really did take on a lot of character and moved around. I mean, they were being manipulated by the people. They weren't automated themselves, but certainly it expressed a great deal of the, I guess, human physical experience in the context of home.
Sort of a new take on puppetry.
In some ways, yeah. At the same time, there's also standard behaviors with respect to, you know, these instruments. So there's a lot of the first part of the three-part concerto had a lot of the agitations that we have sort of when we're dealing with these things and they're not quite working. So there's a lot of dial rotation and shaking of the machines, and it had that feeling of, why are we trapped dealing with these gigantic energy-sucking beasts? Later on there was like cleaning motions where everybody was sort of wiping them off with these dish rags and stuff like that. It really had the full gamut of how we relate to them, and then a little bit beyond in terms of crossing the line between machine behavior and human behavior.
What was the movement of the human performers like?
A lot of it was... there was a lot of moving around that was kind of functional, that had to do with changing position with this part or that part. But most of the time, they were deliberately relating to the machines as humans. Mm-hmm. So it really did look like it was people dealing with, you know, their dishwashers in terms of opening, closing it. Also, because these are big machines, a lot of the sound production was based in their motions.
Okay.
And so most of their repeated things had to do with making the sound, slamming the doors, turning the dials, pushing these things around.
So then would the people interact with the machines like in a very... was it very very literal, or was it kind of stylized? Or
most of the time it was very literal, but Pierre-Yves, I think, mentions in the interview that there's, it's also like a light show to an extent, and so the playing with lighting, they also worked with silhouettes and presenting themselves physically in relation to the sounds that were going on, and a certain part of it had vocal improvisations that were being mutated and related to the sounds that were also being produced through these kind of mechanical interactions, and all of that was then also sort of interpreted and re-communicated through the physical postures and slow motions of some of the performers. Okay. So they really pulled out a whole bunch of different ways of relating and exploring these options of sound and machine and human machine relations in the process of this. And so in terms of novelty, it was quite extensive. Mm-hmm. In terms of communicating something specific, I'm not sure that was really the point. So when you walked away from it, you were like, well, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. But you didn't walk away with some kind of message or interpretation or even a renewed sense of awe or frustration with these appliances that we live with. It was more, you know, an interesting exercise.
Yeah. Cool. And so, Selena, you think we can pay some bills now?
Going to school? Keep it in your jeans. Seriously. I bought my own space at Club Sommet, so my money's going into my pocket, not my landlord's. I can walk to school, clubs, shopping, the metro. I've got two pools, gym, rooftop deck, even my own concierge, Charles. And, okay, my parents helped a bit.
Own downtown at Club Sommet from 156.9. Visit clubsommet.ca/campus or see our models at 3475 Rue de la Montagne.
Feels good to have people up on it, but I'm just a fool playing with the master's tools, learning how to break the rules of this record company. Cool hallucination, I see with my eyes, but my heart's telling me lies. Why do I fantasize? Why am I telling lies to the people from the stage, pretending it's all good when inside there's fire and rage? Cause I can't understand how a man lives off the life of another man. Trying to pimp the universe, that's a joke. I stay rocking the boat down on my last note. It's murder, she wrote. Assassination vocabulary. I see your termination as heavily necessary. I should've known, they do it for Forbes alone. I do it to break the walls. If I fall off, then let me know, people. It's funny how life can go. First you ride high, then you might lay low. Don't get high off your own supply. Someone said first before a fall comes by. This is my message to the world. Just try to reach every boy and girl. Not trying to say if it's right or wrong. just you know I love y'all. Lyrical optometrist with 20/20 vision. I serve my rhymes like my granny used to serve provision. Chaotical, amniotical fluid. The rap druid is fluent in the art of onomatopoeia. Metaphysical, microscopic, topic dropper. When I was a kid, I wanted roller skates and a bike chopper. But alas, pop, never thought to keep me in style. That's why I'm schizophrenic now. So God bless the child that has his own. The harvest we reap is what we sown. Chrome microphone, shoot it towards the dome of computer digital clones. Yeah. A mimic philosopher's stone, singing the styles they own when they bite like Michael Brown's feeling sounds ill. Relationship is a mirror that you see yourself within, and the picture is clearer. That's why I'm on the scene with a mic like Ernesto Guevara, while they exploit with lights like Geraldo Rivera. They just. It's funny how life can go. First you ride high, then you might lay low. Don't get high off your own supply. Someone said first before a fall comes by. This is my message to the world. Just try to reach every boy and girl. Not trying to say if it's right or wrong.
Yeah,
this is just a love song. It's easy not to care what people say. It's harder to pretend to try. Cause they can only love you from yesterday. I'm looking at the now, they both hide. I'm just a man who's walking. They stand around and keep talking. They try to clip my wings, but wisdom kills so many things. Say it again. I'm just a man who's walking. They stand around and keep talking. They try to clip my wings. The wisdom says so many things to love. This is my message to the world. Not trying to say if it's right or wrong. This is just a love song. It's funny how life can go. Don't get high off your own supply.
Right on, folks. We are the Movement Museum, and you've just been listening to Chaos, the love song, and this is a song that goes all the way from here to Singapore for F. And actually, I won't even go into acronyms because I'll give away his graffiti name. But anyway, had to play a bit of Chaos off of the Joyful Rebellion album because he's got a new album. Actually, it's a deluxe album dropping, I believe, tomorrow or next Tuesday. Folks, you can actually go to iTunes right now and upload a couple of free tracks off the deluxe album. So if anybody is listening and they're close to a computer, they should definitely do that. And that's another great Canadian release. And as I promised, I'd bring it back.
No problem, and actually it's a perfect piece of serendipity because the DJ who is playing on that Chaos song is the same DJ who is playing during Rubber Band Dance, and at which point you sort of think that, oh, maybe we're going to be talking about Rubber Band Dance, because for the past 3 weeks I've been just giddy as all get out and getting very excited, and I finally got a chance to see the show. Fawn got a chance to see the show.
Yes.
Everybody has been hearing about how excited I am, and Fawn, what do you think?
Well, wow. It's, I don't know where to start. I mean, it was, after I saw the show, later on that night, I ran into two of the dancers who were in the show, and I started talking to them, and I ran into some other friends of mine who were dancers, and I was like, I just, verbal diarrhea, I had so much to say. So now, because I've gotten that out of my system, I can be more eloquent and concise.
Cool. Okay. So then, to continue the analogy, you sort of wipe things up a little bit.
Yeah. I cleaned. I think I flushed the toilet.
Okay.
And I just have the choice morsels that are left. Hopefully, then, the best words.
Cool. And so, what are they?
Well,
everybody's waiting in anticipation.
I saw it on just this Tuesday. And the dancer said it wasn't their best performance. Mm-hmm. I think it was like an add-on performance because it had done so well the last...
They added on the sort of, what is it, the 7th and the 31st as extra shows because, it's like when we went to buy our tickets, it was, I think, over a year ago. and we couldn't get a pair of tickets sitting next to each other. It's just a tiny, tiny space. And one of the things that I will be, if I ever get a chance to speak to Victor, one of the things I will be asking him is, because he seems to prefer to always perform in smaller spaces, intimate spaces, ones when he keeps talking about messing around with the Proscenium Arch and going out into the audience
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
And it's, to me, it's, okay, so where'd that come from? And I got a couple of ideas, but I bet you he has better ideas.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you realize that, okay, there are no pairs of tickets when you're buying them a year ago. So at which point, oh, suddenly it gets a little bit of press. You got to do something to get some new shows in there. So you just got one of the you got lucky seats.
Yeah, I got lucky seats, So I mean, they say okay, maybe they weren't at their best. It was still incredible. The structure of the show is extremely clever. It's extremely clever. It conveys a lot of information, a lot of emotion. The way the dance itself is structured, the other media they use, the props they bring in these couches. I would say I really enjoyed how clever it was. There was a self-referential humor at times.
A double-edged self-referential humor, because it is not only is it referring to him as well, but it's also taking stuff, or the humorous stuff that they are doing is also stuff from a previous performance. And so you have looping upon looping upon looping. And where he talks about, what would it be called? The non-linear narrative. The one that struck me, and he keeps talking about, referencing Milan Kundera and Quentin Tarantino, and I have no idea, but I haven't read all of Milan Kundera's books, nor have I seen all of Quentin Tarantino's films. But the thing that sort of struck me more was the whole sort of Rashomon aspect of it, which is a Japanese film from the 50s where you get four people telling the same story from their perspectives, whether it's the person who was the thief, the person who saw it, or the person who got murdered. And at which point, your head gets twisted around as to what exactly happened and who is telling the truth and who is lying, and you realize nobody is lying and everybody is telling the truth.
Yeah.
And that struck me that this one was much, much more like that, and so we're going to have to ask him if he's seen Rashomon.
Yeah, so I didn't see the last piece it referenced. You did, obviously?
Yeah, that's AV input-output, and it was a lot of just sort of, yeah, because he has this ridiculous four-year residency at Place des Arts. I've never heard of them previously having anybody in residence. And then to do it for 4 years, you say, whoa, somebody's invested a lot of money in him and his company. And I think that AV input-output was where he obviously knows his way with bodies.
Oh, yeah.
He is slowly ramping up the learning curve with the technology.
Yeah.
And he's doing it very, very well. But that first one was heavy on the tech and light on the dance.
So, okay, because there's something I feel I'm jumping ahead here, but
that's okay.
Something I have to ask you in that show, because one thing I thought was really funny was there, and it was actually interesting because you were speaking about domestic, and during the break we were speaking a little bit about like themes of technology with the appliances, but I felt there was a funny theme of there was a point at which like it was kind of like a gently mocking disconnect with the audience, because you're watching. There's one point where Victor's interviewing Victor's character is interviewing a character that Anne is playing, and I don't have great eyesight, to be honest with you. I probably should wear glasses. Well, no, I definitely should wear glasses. But anyway, and in the audience, you see, he's holding a mic, then she's speaking into a mic, and this is after you've already seen that parts of the stage are mic'd. So you're assuming that this is you're actually hearing them speak. And later on, you realize that, you continue to hear the voice, and she's not talking anymore. He's not there. And it was really funny moment. And,
it's sort of like, that sort of not quite Milli Vanilli moment where you think they're doing it live, but then you realize, no, they're not. And then thankfully, Rubber Band Dance isn't trying to get a number one hit and then tour the world on it. But it is that sort of disconnect, which was, it's one of the things that I'm hoping to do at some point with the show is bring in a mime, because mime on the radio is always endlessly fascinating. But it is there to talk, because it is breaking the barriers because obviously they've been broken before, but of sort of just changing expectations of what to expect in dance, and that whole sort of miming of the sort of interview was not breaking as far as I can tell. is not contemporary dance, but it was part of the performance. And as close as I can get is, you call it mime, and he did it phenomenally well.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, were you sitting up close when you saw it?
We decided center on the aisle coming down, so we were not that close. No,
you wear glasses.
Yes.
They probably allow you to see.
Yes.
Pretty well now, close to 2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were fooled, right?
And I'd seen it before. The same exact joke.
Okay. Okay, so that's okay. So it's not just not that I'm like I was naive or something, but it was really funny, and the character he kind of got into was like this I don't know how to
to me it struck me as being a joke
talk show
talk show, like, but more like a
little smarmy almost. Yeah, it was like it too was a bit gently sold.
I would have called it more like a Joe Everyman, sort of like what's his name from Cincinnati, the mayor who then had the opera named after him.
That's not Springer, is it?
Yeah, Jerry Springer. Thank you.
I knew he was mayor of a city in Ohio. I had no idea he had an opera named after him.
Oh, there's an opera about his TV show.
Oh, wow.
And it's his whole shtick, and I think it is with Dr. Phil and everybody else who does those things, and the Merv Griffin, is that they are just regular Joes.
Yeah.
And you realize that, no, if you are being seen by that many people, you are no longer a regular Joe, but your appeal is that. And yes, it was definitely the character he was playing, and we shall see. But then to the dance, actually, because we've been talking about everything but the dance.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I want to know what it looked like.
Bare stage. The minimal amount of props they had were two IKEA, or what looked to be like IKEA couches, but the way that they throw them around, there's no way they are IKEA couches. They're probably the most expensive couches you have ever seen in your life, because... Yeah, you talk about moving the domestic appliances and domestic. Mm-hmm. Imagine throwing them.
Uh-huh.
And if they have to do, I would guess, about a dozen performances, and then they're taking it, or they've already taken it on the road, and then they're doing a dozen performances, and it's going on the road. If you throw those couches around, then at which point, if they're IKEA, they're going to break. Mm-hmm. But they go up, they go down, they go sideways. People go in, out, and around, and crawl over them. It's like they use a couch as a six-year-old would use a jungle gym.
Yeah.
However, in a much more organized and well thought out fashion. But yeah, those move around. It's ultimately a bare stage. Occasionally there is one video screen that drops down stage left. They have cameras, video cameras that ostensibly are being used to film the people on stage, so you can see them on the video camera.
Okay, we just gave it away. This is like
That's
spoiler
fine.
Alert. Sorry, listeners. Go see the show anyway.
Can get tickets, yeah.
Yes, no, that's the thing. I think we can tell everybody, because you can't get tickets unless you go down to unless you go down to, where are they going, Amherst next? I don't know, someplace. But yeah, they're not going to be here for a while. They're on the road. And yeah, and then it's basically, they then split it up as to, I love how we're on a first name basis with them, but Victor and Anne do a whole whack of stuff. And then when they get really tired, then there are six other dancers who come in so as to occupy your attention and sort of try and copy and do stuff similar to Victor and Anne. However, given that they're not Victor and Anne, or maybe I'm just sort of like vedette driven and so on, they do an all right and very, very nice job. But in comparison, it's sort of like the difference between, say, Babe Ruth and Woody Harrelson or Buddy Harrelson.
Well, I don't know. I felt like
baseball players.
No, I think all the dancers were pretty good. I think Victor and have. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're particularly talented.
And fun. This was not a slight on the other dancers.
Okay.
Babe Ruth is Babe Ruth. Even if for anybody who does not know about baseball, they know Babe Ruth. Buddy Harrelson was my favorite baseball player growing up, and he still is one of 6,000 people ever in the world, 16,000, sorry, people ever in the world to play professional baseball. And you think that there are 6 billion people living on Earth right now, and he is one of 16,000. That's less than 1/100%. So he is really special. But you then compare Buddy Harrelson to Babe Ruth, and...
I don't know.
Buddy Harrelson was amazing. He was an all-star. He was phenomenal. But Babe Ruth is Babe Ruth. And Victor and Ann are like Babe Ruth to me.
Okay.
And then the other dancers are, stars of their own, but just slightly not as bright.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt that Victor and Ann had a primary role to play in that. They kind of played the main two characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, you're talking about like the themes, like the kind of the Rushmore analogy. There was an aspect of discrepancy between kind of Victor's character's perception of Anne, or an outside perception of Anne's character, mm-hmm. and then Anne's character's perception of herself, which mm-hmm. was really amusing too. But the dance wise, I mean the Victor's use of the techniques he uses are so well integrated that he's really succeeded in developing like a particular vocabulary mm-hmm. that's distinct, that's recognizable, but more importantly, really effective, I find.
That, I agree with you that he's developed it. It's there. I'm not so certain I would agree with you that it is distinct. It's there. The more that I do the research into stuff,
yeah.
the more I'm saying, he pulled a little bit from here. He pulled a little bit from there. And in this whole mashup culture that we got, that he is part of and sort of one of the major things. It's whether it or not it originates with him, or whether he just puts a spotlight on it and brings it into a different direction.
Okay.
That is, to me, probably more of the main point. But it is when, people sort of, the reviewer in the Globe and Mail, I think it was, that I was passing around, sort of is saying that, he's like an originator of stuff. And it's, I don't know if you've seen the video for Exhibit Symphony and X.
No.
Okay, now there it's now tying everything together and just wrapping it around. Exhibits Symphony and X, the video for that, has three moves that I think, I don't know because I haven't asked anybody, get reused. And it's effectively, like if it was in writing, it would be plagiarism. In Chaos's, the Chaos song that Victor choreographed.
Well...
But quotation in art is not something you can get away from.
Exactly. That's my point. But when somebody in the Globe and Mail then comes and says he's original, that's what I'm complaining about.
No, that's still in the context of assembling interesting combinations of things that create an accumulation of something that's very distinct.
There's also creative domain. There's also public domain, right? So, I mean, I don't know who the reviewer was in the Globe and Mail, but
Paula Citron.
But I think often in the mainstream media, I mean, I know that Victor uses a lot of influence from B-boying and breakdancing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think the mainstream media doesn't have a great familiarity with that.
So if
they see one of Victor's dancers do, footwork based on six step or a swipe, they're going to be like, oh, wow, and that was so, they might say, wow, that was really innovative. Well, a swipe and a six step were invented in the 70s, mm-hmm. but... I guess what I'm saying is what's distinct about Victor's, it's just a distinct style in terms of you watch a choreography au complet and you're like, okay, that's Victor's work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But there's a lot of public domain. There's a lot of influence mm-hmm. in there. And
I'm not saying this.
The mix is interesting.
That mix is what makes it wonderful and stuff like that. And that's where I am endlessly jealous, endlessly fascinated, and endlessly amazed. It is the sort of thing where... he puts things together real well, and it's then other people's interpretation of it that I sort of question.
I don't know, because I think there's definitely a trend in it. It's funny because I remember talking to Victor talking to me about it a couple weeks ago about this kind of trend of maybe in a more dangerous sense it could be like the theater space co-opting street dance, or maybe it's just a healthy interest. But there's that interplay or that possibility. Mm-hmm. There, and it's kind of like it's like a trend now, people are like, oh, this is so cool, that was really urban, that was really fresh. And so now it's like, okay, well, do you actually know, is that like a brand new move? And I think in a sense what makes dance interesting is not, okay, that's a brand new move, but like what I liked about this show is the friendship theme, mm-hmm. like just the way it expressed themes, the emotion. I always find like what lies beneath the superficial surface of actual movement itself is how that movement is structured physically in space, the composition, how that's structured in choreography between one or two or more dancers, and then also most importantly what that brings to the audience feeling wise. And so I'm going to ask you, what did it make you think
The only thing I like about dance is what you call the surface, the movement, is the way the bodies interact. And then once you try and bring it down to a more sort of themes and subtext and plots and stuff like that, that's where I yawn and fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
I only go for the bodies and the movement.
No. But I disagree with that just from a perceptual angle in terms of what you might be able to talk about and recognize as what's on the surface.
No.
But in terms of what you're experiencing is obviously deeper structure. There are components of that that are essential to your appreciation of
no
it.
Way.
construction of an experience.
When I eat cake, I only stick my finger in the icing.
Okay.
And so, it's when there is something in there, but no, knowing myself, it's there. I'm only going for the movement, for the artifice, for stuff that I can't do because I'm just fat, lazy, and old. And it is where, to me, it's, yes, I recognize that there are people who are doing stuff very deliberately to have other texts going through there and bring in other ideas and so on. But whether they're there, whether they're not, I'm not terribly interested. It's not something that sort of appeals to me as much as watching bodies just do amazing things that I can't do.
But I would say that while it's true in terms of what you're aware of and what you're considering consciously, your experience of the performance as a whole is totally determined by this large-scale form and has a huge amount. All of those deliberatenesses in terms of construction and relationship and in interwoven bits of things at different levels do accumulate in your experience over time in a way that...
But it's also that it...
you might not be able to talk about, but it's certainly there.
If you want to, I can talk
about
it.
You think you're eating just icing, but you're actually eating a whole cake.
No,
cake is the experience of you and the plate and the thing in between.
Oh, yeah, no, and my experience of the performance is also dependent on who I'm sitting next to, whether I am in...
Particularly in this show, right?
How about before you guys lynch me? Selena, we got a song racked up there? Cool.
Sure. So I'm going to cut the conversation.
Thank you.
Pause before anything happens to Zeke, who happens to sit next to me.
No, it's all good.
I don't know what that says, but all right. So we'll be back after this.
Yeah. Street level. Oi. Oi. Yeah. That's it. Right there.
Round there, now things seem to change.
At street level.
Same old thing every day.
That's it.
Just play and replay in different ways.
Oi, tunes heavy.
Round there, now things seem to change.
At street level.
Same old thing every day.
That's it.
Just play and replay in different ways.
Oi. Whose round is it? Down that beer quick, smash my glass back down, fall over the table, all rowdy and pissed. Seems the only difference between midweek shit and weekend is how loud I speak, and whether I try and pull a girlfriend. That's it. Who's got dough? Hey, you know I pay, but I'm broke, only got coinage to show. Putting off walking home on my own to my throne. Two empty takeaways, ashtrays, the remains of the day's stone. Pick a bottle off the table, peel the label, tell a fable. Offer opinion for free on a solution to the latest big news story. Football and smut daily as I ponder winning the lottery. Buy a drink, chat to a lady, the girl's well fit, definitely not maybe. She's rude, I'd shag her and make tea, right there.
Round there, now things seem to change.
At street level.
Same old thing every day.
That's it.
Just play and replay in different ways.
Oi, heavy.
Round there, now things seem to change.
At street level.
Same old thing every day.
That's it.
Just play and replay in different ways.
Oi. Can't lounge in the boozer all day, got manoeuvres to make. Gotta see a man about a dog, can't be late, I'm always late. Raining cats and fog, but nice and dry in the black dog. Down it and want my son. Can't sit here, gotta run, things need done. If they don't win this and the next one, they're getting relegated to the third division. At street level, real people, same repeated sequel. Rock and roll, four to the floor. Like last night, yesterday morning, and the night before, and the night before.
Apparently, there's a whole world out there somewhere.
It's right there.
I just don't see it.
Right there.
I just don't see it.
Oi.
Round there, now things seem to change.
At street level.
Same old thing every day.
That's it.
Just play and replay in different ways.
Oi, street level.
Round there, now things seem to change.
At street level.
Same old thing every day.
That's it.
Just play and replay in different ways.
Oi, hey.
on your way out.
And we're back. That was The Streets with The Same Old Thing. And then just in this whole idea of tying up everything, how it twists together, it's, I am convinced that this played, that song played a little bit of, I don't know, in the background when Little Jazz, DJ Little Jazz was conceiving the music for Rubber Band Dance's Punto Ciego, which then leads gracefully into the awesome calendar.
Dun, dun, dun.
Something like that, where, yeah, the first thing of business is, yes, you have until April 11th to go see Rubber Band Dance's Punto Ciego at Sanctum Sal, the Place des Arts. Tickets are, I think, somewhere about $25 or somewhere that, if you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next?
Well, we've got the Pioneers of New Dance that are going to be showing, that are currently working right now with the Les Grands Ballets Canadiens de Montréal, but we'll be continuing tonight, tomorrow night, and the night after, and it's a new choreography by Still Chelis and Ray 2 by Shea Wei. I'm confused with that. Anyway, John Tavener music and Cambodian music, which should be very interesting. Little description, we have Mr. Chelis brings us an exclusive creation, surprise, and something totally out of the ordinary is assured for this bold and adventurous choreographer who loves debunking myths. So, prodigious Chinese choreographer Shen Wei, who will be contributing to the opening ceremonies of the 29th Summer 2008 Olympiad in Beijing, or rather, who did contribute to all that, will also present a revival of Ray, 2. So, these two works are going, so check them out, look them up, and see them.
And then on, we've got the Loops by the Destin Croisé. Looks like, is that room 10 at 300 La Jeunesse? On the first floor, and that's going to happen on Saturday, April 11th at 8 o'clock. And that's, I guess, the choreographed by Ismail Meraki for his company Destin Croisé. And it's a fusion of urban and contemporary dance created in the city of Montreal. And what else can we add to that?
We have... Un homme et une femme, Dominique Porte. So it's an audacious adventure and risk from Dominique Porte and Alain Francaire. It's, I guess, based on, I'm not sure, Château de Barbe Bleue, which that's Castle of
Bluebeard's
Castle. Which is an opera by Bartok. And so, I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about themes. I hope Zeke doesn't beat me up for that. No, I'm just kidding. But
I'm a pacifist. I'm a pacifist.
All right. Well, I hope you don't protest outside my house then.
How about this? I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay. So let's see. It's a meeting of. It's a fundamental meeting of two creators in a dialogue. It deals with themes of a quest for identity, a desire for liberty, and the paradoxical submission to fatality. So, yeah. And then, I see this word mentioned, which is one of my favorites, human condition. That's all I'm going to say, human condition.
There, I wanted to mention, initially I was going to talk a little bit about the Second Estates General. However, due to time constraints or just the general the excitement over Rubber Band Dance, we ran long, so the Second Estates General got short shrift. However, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't attend this. The Second Estates General will be held on April 23rd to April 26th. It is... what would this be? Basically, it's a grouping of everybody and anybody who is doing professional dance in Quebec talking about what should be happening in the next 10 years. A registration is open now, and if you register before Friday, before tomorrow, you save 15%. And from the studio, which we are in, CKUT 90.3 FM, I will be running right down to the Regroupement du Québécois de la Danse so as to give them my hard-earned money. So as they can do it. Remember, April 23rd, 26th, if you want to be heard as to what you think dance should be in Quebec.
One last thing, I want to give a quick shout out to Cassin, Lina Cruz, Compagnie Filatres. This Friday, which is tomorrow at 8, they're doing a creation with choreographed by Lina Cruz, music by Philippe Noireau. I've met her, she's great. I've met Philippe, he's great. And so that's at Maison de la Culture de Montréal Nord, which is 12,004 Boulevard Roland. You can probably look up Compagnie Filatres. That's Fila like the shoe, Tres like 1-3. And I think they're going to have some shows at other Maison de la Culture around Montreal over the upcoming months, so do check that out as well.
And we've got La 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 Human Steps. I guess the final performances of the show, Amjad. And the choreographer is Edward Locke, April 30th, May 1st, and 2nd. And that's going to be at Salle Wilfrid Pelletier at Place des Arts. And that's a co-presentation with Place des Arts. And it says here, 2 years after its presentation in Montreal, Amjad returns to the city after crisscrossing Canada, Europe, and the United States. Hailed in the major centers of contemporary dance, Edward Locke's latest creation unites two icons of classical ballet, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty. Locke dismantles them both piece by piece, distilling their essence for four musicians and nine irrepressible dancers. So, yeah, you might want to go check that out, and that's at the end of April.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be able to get an interview with Andrea Boardman, and she's the main dancer in there, and hopefully keep our fingers crossed that something will work out.
Cool. And I just want to remind people that there's going to be another Irish Ceilidh for those that want to actually get out and move themselves this Saturday at the Legion on Maisonneuve. So check out shimsa.org, shimsa.org. It's not spelled any way you'd expect. Or look up Irish Ceilidh Montreal and you probably could find it pretty easily. And that's going to be a awesome, fun time, though bring a change of shirt, to this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Things will get started.
Cool. And at which point, I think that has come to the almost the time. It is time to say goodbye. It's almost 3 o'clock now. You've been listening to the Movement Museum here on CKUT.
As we dance on the airwaves.
90.3 yes. FM. And yet, there, if you can pass me the second page of the calendar, because I want to let everybody know that next week we're going to have Karen Fennell and Fawn doing stuff. They're going to give us a break and no, the other page, because apparently Karen has gotten all excited about Endings by Zoha Smutny and Paspo Dance Theater, which is happening on the 10th and the 11th at Studio 303, and then she's also planning on trying to talk about the Soirée Danse at the Festival Vue sur Relève, which is happening on the 9th at the Maison de la Culture Frontenac. But again, thank you all very much for listening to the Movement Museum. I'm Zeke. Fon's here. You'll be able to hear him next week. He's lucky stiff. He doesn't get a week off.
And if you guys want to get in touch with us, check us out. Send us an email at movement@ckut.ca. That's movement@ckut.ca, spelled in English. For those of us that are bilingual and generally confused. So let us know what you think, ideas. Let us know about shows, and thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Right on. So we've been the Movement Museum crew. I am Sirius Black, the woman on the wheels of steel here, and we are going to head out as the phone is ringing in the background. I don't know who has a cell phone, but more than likely, considering that I've said that, it's probably mine. And that's highly unexpected. And everyone can tell, they're like, wow, Sirius says, like, for the first time, is not as cool as she usually is. Okay, so we're going to sign off, and I'm going to let everybody go as we dance out of the studio. We're Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3. It is 2:59. It is beautiful outside, so once you're done listening to us, everyone should go outside.
I think that is...
For the people, this is street radio for unsung hero riding in the Rego, trying to stay legal. My daughter found Nemo, I found a new primo. Yeah, you know how we do it for the people and the struggle of the brothers and the folks, the lovers of the dope. Experiment to discover hope, scuffle for notes. The